Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Court, yes, we're on right now.
Did you sound a little faint?
Yeah, do I sound faint?
Yeah, this call's a little bit faint.
Oh, okay. You can hear now. You can hear fine though, right?
Yeah, but it's a little low. Maybe you don't understand the meaning of faint.
Yeah,
it
faint.
Means you can't hear fine.
Oh, well, no, I understand. But usually all the guests can hear. Okay, I mean we're doing the best
we can. Hear okay.
Yeah, that's.
I'm just saying when I say you sound a little faint and you go you can hear fine though. Okay. I'm like, what does faint mean? It means no, you can't hear that well.
We're doing the best we can. We're in the East Village. We're independent.
I know.
It's not.
I like how you tried to come. You tell me to come to podcast. You're like, hey, if you come to my podcast, I know you're busy with the show. Come, we'll make it at your convenience. I'm like, yeah, no kidding, Ken.
But,
you think I'm one of your peers? Hey, Tim, I want to be on your podcast.
Well, that's what we said. We said we'd make it as easy as possible. You know, we could even come to you.
Oh, of course you would.
Right.
That's what everybody says to everybody.
Sure, but you know, you're a big get, so we wanted to.
I know that.
Yeah, we wanted to handle it appropriately. We wanted to make you feel comfortable.
But that's
you know?
What I'm saying. You didn't have, by saying something that's a given. You didn't handle it appropriately.
Right. So what should I have done? Should I have played like you weren't a big get and just said, "Here's when we record."
No.
Right. That's not the move either.
No, it should have been. I don't know what you would do. That's a good question.
Right.
I guess maybe. What's that?
I thought about how do I message Colin Quinn. I even asked a few people. They're like, just message him. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Either way, it's been a disaster because I'm not coming down.
I know.
And you know what? as much as I hate podcasts and as much as I like you is how much I hate podcasts. I don't do anyone's podcasts. I'm just sick of them. I've been doing them for years. They make me angry.
Well, you and Bobby Kelly said that you and him invented the first podcast.
Yeah, he did. And I just joined in with him. Yeah, he did.
He did.
Bob invented MySpace and podcasts, and he got no money out of either one. Dude.
Well, he's, you know,
he really did.
He does it for. Did he really invent MySpace?
Yes. Ask him. He'll tell you the whole story. He invented it, and Dane, who was good friends with Bobby, ran with it. You know what I mean? And it was a big thing for a minute, but Bob kind of invented MySpace, you know?
Oh, interesting, because he always says he did the first podcast with you, and it was something on Google Chat, or, you know, or did you,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate, well.
I wish I could say Bob's lying, but he's not. He really did come up with two things that are, you know.
Well, he should have been an inventor then. I don't know. Well, I feel
yeah.
bad. We would have loved to have you on. It would have been a great episode. We, you know, you could have told us about old New York or something.
Yeah, well, maybe someday we'll do it.
You know?
Maybe it'll come on someday after my show, so we'll talk about old Long Island rather than old New York.
Yeah, old Long Island.
We'll talk about old Saybrook.
That's more interesting. When does your show end?
Next week, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
You're familiar with that day.
I am familiar. And is that your last performance, St. Patty's Day?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
and, and by the way,
yeah.
the other reason I'm so happy now I didn't do the podcast because when your producer's English,
he's,
wait till I tell your relatives about that one.
Yeah, he's Australian, so they're okay. He's Australian. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't hire English. We won't do that. But
the Australians are the first Irish. Yeah.
Right. The Australians, you cannot love them. They're drunk. They live in a barbecue. You know, they're
and
fine.
And they were Irish. They kicked them out for being Irish.
Yeah, they kicked them out. They're just a nation of criminals. Do you really
yeah.
think America needs to break up, like your show says that America needs to break up? Do you really think that's...
you know, I think you think it too. You're a smart guy.
I agree.
What's going to happen? Is it seeming like it's getting more coherent and more healing, you know?
No.
It's only getting worse, you know?
Yeah, but you just wonder how that would happen, you know? Because one of the reasons I love the show is because you really, that's something people talk about after the show, is like, they're like, well, how? What would that even look like, you know?
It would look like the NCAA March Madness.
Right. Everybody would go. But would you want to stay in New York? Or see, I don't know if I'd want to stay in New York. I might have to go to Texas or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know?
I can't believe never thought the day would come, but yeah.
You know, I might have to go somewhere else. I
agree.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, if you know, hopefully we could try to figure out a way to get you down here. I don't know what, you know, maybe a corned beef sandwich or, I mean, since the heart attack, you're probably eating healthier now. So
I'm not eating healthy, but corned beef, I never liked corned beef, I'm ashamed to say.
Yeah, I thought if any one of Brian's clients had a heart attack, it was going to be me. So it's nice to, because I will eventually have one. So it's nice to, did he come to the hospital? Was he like a good manager in that respect?
Oh, of course he came, you know.
Yeah.
He came, you know, I mean, Brian, you know how Brian is.
Of course.
He comes, he sits home. The good thing about Brian is that he sits in his house and he goes, okay, I got to go to the hospital. And him and his wife go, what's the heart attack outfit? They spent 20 minutes picking out what would be appropriate to go visit somebody in the hospital who just had a heart attack.
That's so true. That's so true. And then he shows up in a pair of like white linen pants. Something so crazy. I mean, he's like, worn things, and this is our manager, but he's worn things where I'm like, this guy is really, like, he's got a level of confidence that's amazing, because he just, pastel silk shirts, white pants, like Hawaii 5-0, Miami Vice, like crazy.
I get more compliments on his clothes than I do on my act. Women are like, oh, your manager really knows how to dress.
Yeah. He looks like he's 20. He looks like he's 27, and I don't know his age. It's like he sold his soul to the devil because he doesn't age.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's an interesting he's an interesting character. But do you feel better now, like with health-wise? Do you feel like you're doing fine?
Yeah, I feel very good. I feel fine. But, I mean, you know, I go to the gym, but, you know, we are Irish, so there's only limited physical ability, you know.
Right.
As we grow older and mentally more astute than all other peoples combined.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, as we age, let's face it, we only become smarter, and you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'd like to do some SAT testing in our 60s. And see how we do then. You know what I mean?
100%. I think we would be. We are a race of people that are intelligent when it doesn't matter. That's what I would say. Our best qualities tend to make themselves known right when it completely doesn't matter, and
a beautiful, beautiful description.
Well, that's what it is. You know, my grandfather was like an armchair philosopher. He was a great reader. He loved everything. And he was really sharp. And at the height of his powers, he dropped dead, you know, and that was it.
Oh,
you know,
God.
That's kind of the...
Our best quality... I swear to God, that should be one of the Irish mottos. Our best qualities come out when it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they really surface towards the end. When they start coming, you know it's you got 18 months left to live. Are you a guy that you think it's true? Will you stay?
I'm laughing.
Why don't you ever go to L.A.? You never go to. I was in L.A. for a month, and everyone's like, Colin Quinn's. He never comes here, and all the L.A. comics.
I used to live there.
Oh, you did.
I lived there for a couple of years in the 90s, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because I'm not going out there just to hang out. You know what I mean? Yeah. What's the point? You know what I mean? Those days are over for me. I'd go out there if I had something to do, but I'm just not going to go and hang, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but everybody would love to see, like, all these guys, like, yeah, Colin should come. That'd be great to see him. Did you hate it when you lived there?
No, I never go out there. What's that?
Did you hate it when you lived there?
No, I loved it.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I love LA, but yeah.
You're setting your ways.
I mean, there's just no reason to go out there. It's like I said, if I was your age, I'd probably say, hey, I'm going to go out and hang out, sleep on my friend's floor.
Right.
And just do podcasts and get on at the comedy store. Like,
yeah, that's what we do. We go to diners and complain that they don't know who they're booking the wrong people. Yeah, that's all we do.
Yeah, it would be insane for me to do that now. I did that.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a fair point.
And then,
Are there any tickets left for your show, or is it pretty much all sold out?
There's always tickets left for my show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
My show is there's always room in the show. It's a big theater for me, you know?
Did you read any? Some of the reviews were great because it's a guy that's like, hey, Colin ripped apart both the left and the right, but he shouldn't have done it to the left. It's like every review, every review proves your point.
I know. It is interesting, you know, when you see how people, like, they say, hey, that's great. Like, philosophically, they know it's the way to think, but then they can't stop from going back to their instinct. You
right.
Know?
Like, they'll
it's
be
really
like,
interesting.
They'll go, Colin's at his best when he swings the hammer at Trump, but he's on far shakier ground when he attacks other people.
Yeah, because they don't get to see enough of, you know, enough of that in comedy.
Right.
You don't get to see people. They want, it's a breath of fresh air when he goes after Trump.
Yeah. Where does that, do you think you're going to shoot this for somewhere or you don't know yet?
No, nothing yet, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
I'll probably know in a couple of weeks. So, you know, look, as I always tell everybody, if we don't shoot it anywhere, that's embarrassing at this point.
Right.
I mean, if somebody doesn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 12-year-old kids that are shooting every day of their life. If we can't get this shot somewhere, we're really in trouble.
It's so true.
Maybe I'll ask Lily Singh if she'll put it up on her house.
Put it up on her show. Yeah, you got to start. Now, you never started a podcast. You had no interest.
No interest, yeah.
Interesting, because like it's such a big part of our business now. But you like,
I know,
yeah. Everybody's got this. Sellers got five. There's tons of them over there. Everybody's got one. The Comedy Store's got a million. I mean, it's wild.
I know.
Bookers now have them.
Wild.
Yeah.
Who does?
Bookers, people that book comedy now have.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It's crazy. It's wild. There's
yeah, it's
more
really,
there's
crazy.
More articles about bookers than there are about comedians now. It's pretty wild. I mean, it's
there's a lot of things that need to be recalibrated, you know.
Do you think last question before I let you go, do you think the comedy will thin out again and the clubs will close and everybody will jump out of windows and it'll be
I like the stock. No, I just think I don't feel like the problem for once, I don't feel like the problem is the comedians. I feel like the problem is society needs to recalibrate and realize, you know, that, you know, and I think people will one day go, wait a minute, when are we laughing and what are we laughing at and when are we not laughing?
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Right.
If it's funny, you know, that's, you know, eliciting laughter is a very strange and kind of magical thing. And sometimes under the guise of that, there's a lot of things where people are advertising as that. And then if you're not laughing, if people aren't laughing, then it's not going to be comedy after a while. I know it's a radical thought.
It's very controversial.
So we'll see what happens.
You're part of the problem.
Yes,
well, listen. Colin, thank you for not coming on. I appreciate it. If there's anything that we can entice you with in the future, please let us know. Remember, it will be at your convenience. It'll be easy for you.
Yes,
it'll be user friendly. And if you've not seen Red State, Blue State, go see it. You're the best. And
all right,
stay healthy. I'll see you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, bye-bye.
And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell!
Welcome to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, everybody. Andrew Schultz is here, the guy. His new special is out on his YouTube channel, Views from the Sis. Did it all himself. Fuck the industry. Fuck everybody.
Fuck them all.
Unless you're going to write me a check, which you're not. But if you do, I take everything back. But fucking, it's awesome. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this has been kind of like a long time in the making.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're a guy that everybody whispers your name. When everyone's frustrated about something, people are like, well, you know what Andrew Schultz did?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me, man.
Yeah, but it's
good.
The reality is you did it. Because you tried to sell a special to all these fucking people.
Yeah.
And they didn't buy it.
Nobody. Literally nobody.
Nobody bought it.
A network I had a show on said no.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then you just started dribbling out. You would put out a joke on YouTube and it would go viral.
Right.
And you started to organically build this fan base.
Yeah, yeah.
And then fucking it was great. Now you're selling out all over the place.
Yeah, it's unreal, man. First thing I did is I put out like a 15-minute version of the special I filmed.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it like in 15 minutes was because you can learn a lot about comedy from asking people that don't do comedy.
Sure.
Like how they feel about it.
Yeah.
And like everybody I would ask about specials would say the same thing. They'd be like, oh yeah, blah, 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 special was so funny, but I didn't finish it. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, I just didn't finish it. Everybody I asked wasn't finishing it.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, they're too long.
Yeah.
So for the casual fan, they're too long.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, all right, boom, it can't be an hour.
Right.
I got to put out something. You know, the best meal is something you can have one more bite of.
Sure.
So like my goal in the comments was that they go, man, I wish this was longer. That was the goal.
Right.
Because I knew everything else was too long.
And we did those Netflix 15 minutes. No one said that. You know, no one said it. Everyone was like, man, that felt like an hour.
Where do you think Netflix got that idea?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You think so?
100%.
100%.
I mean, Comedy Central.
That's wild. I bet you're right.
Comedy Central stole the exact show and did a version of it.
Right.
Called Thank You, Good Night.
Okay. Yeah,
whereas,
yeah, yeah.
Like
I just taped one of those.
Right, where they follow you around the city and stuff like
that. Yeah, it's stupid.
But
I mean,
like,
it's
great. It's a great idea.
It's good. Listen, but the way they do it.
Yeah, it's scripted.
It's so scripted.
I did it organic. Like,
right.
It's the real cab driver.
So it's, to me, it's like, I mean, it's fine, whatever, God bless, but you did it authentic.
Yeah, and again, this is like, I want every comic to do it.
Yeah,
I want all of you to get every opportunity you possibly can.
Of
like,
course.
You got to eat. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It's like, I want every comic to see what I'm doing on social and copy it.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Right.
It's for all of us.
Right.
Like, this is, the larger goal for me here is that, like, we empower ourselves because that's the best version of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm trying to impress you and you're trying to impress me, that's the funniest joke.
That's the best stuff,
When we're trying to impress Fox.
Yeah. Do you ever?
It's not a good joke,
How did you start doing the show with Charlamagne? That was.
We did Guy Code together.
Okay, and then started the Brilliant Idiots podcast.
And then we started Brilliant Idiots podcast. Yeah, yeah. I saw something good with podcasts, and I was like, yeah, there's something here, man.
And that was how many years ago?
Man, 4 or 5 years ago now.
Right,
it's a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just like wildly.
And you've been doing comedy a while. You've been because
12 years maybe.
You've been like grinding for a while.
Yeah, getting
funny, putting everything because people always learn the wrong lessons. Like, well, Andrew just overnight did all this shit. It's
no,
like, oh, but he's killing.
Yeah,
himself.
I did 33 weeks of like I put out the special, which was 15 minutes, and then I did 33 straight weeks of comedy. Like I put a new joke out every week.
Yeah,
so I probably put out like 2 hours of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe more.
Yeah.
In like a 33-week period.
Sure.
Now, so it's like, yeah, if you do that, you'll be where I am.
Right.
It's a simple thing.
Yeah.
It's hard for a lot of people to give away that much material.
Well, a lot of people's jokes aren't funny.
Also
that's
the
other problem.
Yeah, like,
you put a joke out a week, it's not good.
Yeah. No, that is true.
There are people
helps,
that are trying to do what you're doing, putting out crowd work every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, that's what I would do if I was
funny.
Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know.
Like, Big J is sitting on a gold mine. I've been telling him this shit for years. It's funny. It's like, I've realized, like, people only think you're a genius if you're rich or dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've been telling people to do certain things.
Yeah.
Just because I understand, like, why people are attracted to them and, like, what makes them tick and what makes them work. Like, it's just something I have. I don't know what it is. Like, I could spend 10 minutes with you and I can know 3 shows that you should do type of thing, right? So it's like, but I think nobody really paid me any mind until, like, it started to click.
Right.
And then people's survival instinct clicks in, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, okay, he's selling shows. Okay, if I do that, I'll sell shows.
Do you think people ignored you for the simple fact that you didn't have the evidence yet?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
And I get that. Like, I don't resent people that offer that.
No,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a homeless person giving you advice. It's, it's like, I don't need that from you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think what happened is once they started seeing it and they started seeing that it could apply to them potentially, then they're like, okay, boom, I'll try that or I'll listen to him, et cetera. I mean, I remember conversations. Like, I remember I had a conversation with Dave Smith a couple years ago, coming back from Anthony Cumia's house when he was doing the show in his house in Long Island.
Oh, wow.
And I remember just being like, yeah, Dave, like, you love politics, man. Like, if I was you, I would do a show strictly about that. But I would also get in the Fox News bubble. And
get in that world.
And then, like, that happened for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, I knew it would happen for him. Yeah. It was just, like, was he going to be able to do it and access it, et cetera? Yeah. So,
do you,
like,
think with some comics there seems to be, like, a hesitancy to promote themselves because they, you know, want to stay true to whatever artistic kind of, you know, whether it's integrity or whatever they
think. I don't understand the integrity thing, man, because, like, I don't understand. It's, like, you're... If you don't want to share your material, then don't go on stage.
Yeah, what are you doing? Right.
This is just a bigger stage.
Yeah, I think some people think that they listen to the Louis and the Bill Burr and all that stuff. And in those stories, people maybe learn the wrong lessons because they hear about these guys kind of being ignored or passed over for a very long time. And then eventually it gets through. But those guys are always trying to figure out every different angle. Yeah.
Every angle. Yeah. And it's like, that was me. Like, every door closed for me in stand-up. Literally, the stand-up industry was like, no.
And do you think, what was it? Why do you think that was?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, like, I could have my suspicions, but it's one of those things like, what does talking about the past do for us?
Yeah, but not like, much.
Yeah, so it's like, literally nothing. It's like, it's like if you got lung cancer and you're like, all right, how do we fix this? And the doctor's going, well, why don't we talk about all the cigarettes you smoke?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Give me the chemo.
Right.
You're like, what are we? This is the chemo.
Let's show me what to do.
Boom.
Yeah.
So, like, regardless whether it wasn't like the right time, like, I think what happened was the networks got fat because they were the only game in town.
Right.
Right. It was like owning a basketball team or a football team.
Yeah.
It's like there's literally a finite amount of competition.
Yeah, they wanted a blood oath from all these people.
They could, because that used to be the only place for eyeballs.
Yeah.
The only thing that you could, like, the only way people could see you was TV.
Right.
So if you had a key to get into TV, that's a lot of power.
Right.
So we got into this model where we're like, okay, I need to get on TV.
Yeah.
Right? And then we started thinking, like, I need to do an hour special. And then, like, you even see the greats say shit like, it's not real unless it's an hour. Like, Seinfeld was saying that. It's like, you idiot.
Yeah.
Why do you think that it was an hour to fill a block of time on TV?
Sure.
There's nothing artistic.
Right. If
it's just to fill the air.
Right.
Right? That's why they decided it's an hour. It's like Game of Thrones episodes sometimes are an hour and 7 minutes. Sometimes they're 53. It's like nobody's going, well, that's not a real episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, right.
Right? So it's like,
yeah, who cares?
It doesn't matter. The special is as long as it is long.
Right.
Now, if it's 15, it's 15.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that you're doing, I think, is appealing to a lot of people that want edgy comedy, real, authentic comedy.
Yeah. Because there was no space for it.
There was, right. I mean, it kind of got crowded out by a lot of the, you know, whether I hate this word, but kind of the woke crew that kind of came in. And then you've kind of become like a crusader.
For sure.
For that type of
comedy. It was interesting how it happened because I've always done this type of comedy.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I went from being like, people would say I was kind of like douchey or misogynistic on stage.
Right.
And then they started saying like, wow, you're really brave.
Right.
And it's like, bro, I've been doing the same comedy, right? It's like, you know what it is? It's like history dictates your behavior, you know, because like back in the day, you know, the abolitionists, the slavery abolitionists, right? Were like, we got to stop slavery. Like, they would be really amazing people back then.
Yeah.
But now they'd be like, what, you just think slavery's wrong? Like, you know what I mean? They're dicks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, as culture shifts, I guess so does the perception of you.
Sure.
So it shifted for me, and I think that it needed, and I see you pushing as well.
Yeah.
And like, the way the stars aligned was that, like, the world needed it. It was a skill I developed over, like, a lot of fights with audience, a lot of tough times on stage.
I always try to see it from the other people's point of view, even though I don't agree with them.
Sure.
Like, do you ever try to, because, like, you know, I would go to a movie with friends and they'd be like five movies. It'd be like, it'd be all white people or the same white people in every fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it's like movies about spies where you're like, well, they don't have to be fucking white, you know?
Right.
Throw somebody in there. Do you ever
They absolutely have to be white if they're spies.
Right.
You're going to send some black guy to Russia?
Yeah. You don't think they're going to ask questions? It's a movie.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. Absolutely.
Which basketball team do you play for?
Yeah.
That's the first question.
Do you ever try to see it from like the other point of view where it's like, oh, I understand.
1,000%.
Like a black kid going to see Black Panther is a good thing. And like
sure.
The idea that people want diversity. I think the way that they're doing it is not particularly helpful.
Yeah, I'm not.
Seems like an overcorrection.
Yeah, like.
Because you're a fan, but you have a lot of black fans. Oh, my, I mean, you're like in that world. You know,
nobody has a more diverse fan base than me.
Right, right.
Like if you come to one of my shows, you've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing about it is by not seeking forced diversity, I developed the most diverse fan base in comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Real
by
diversity.
By not forcing it.
Right.
And why is it real diversity? Because we are connecting on ideas.
Right.
Your ideas aren't black, Asian, gay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's just the joke is the joke.
Right.
It's reptilian. If you have a joke that hits somebody, like people always ask me, like, how do you get away with this? They're like, why are old women laughing at your jokes? It's like they don't have a choice.
Right.
I'm not tapping into a word problem like these nerd comics.
Right.
Right.
You're evoking real laughter.
You
100%.
Feel it. Yeah. Whatever I'm saying, it's in here.
Yeah.
Like I can't produce a bit about something I don't care about.
Right.
I have to care.
Yeah, that was my thing too. And that's,
yeah, that's why it affects them.
Right.
You know, that's why you're going to have people who are probably very homophobic.
Right.
Fuck with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they 100%. Don't even resonate. Why? They're like, what's going on?
The majority of my audience is homophobic.
Very homophobic.
I mean, people. You know?
But it's comedy's reptilian, man.
Yeah.
It's, if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
It's reptilian.
Right.
So it's like.
It's just deep. It's in there.
The Louis joke with the school thing.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, how could people laugh at that?
Yeah.
And it's like, they didn't have a choice.
Right.
You tapped into something that they all felt. Now, you might say publicly you didn't feel it.
Yeah.
We all say that. Like, nobody wants to admit. You know, when you're leaving a Chinese restaurant, you're not sure who works there and who's just eating amongst the Asians, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that's true.
Yeah.
Like I've said thank you to multiple Asian people that are just at the restaurant eating.
Yeah.
And that's not my fault.
No. And they should say you're welcome because it's their culture.
Their culture, right?
You know?
Yeah.
Where are the gay rappers? When's that coming? Is that ever coming? Where are the gay people in sports? I feel like you're an interesting guy to ask this question to. Where is this identity politics fucking realm that we're in now?
Yeah. Where are the gay rappers? Man, I don't know. I'm not
like. Here's the deal. I feel I get messages from people that go, I'm a gay person. I'm bisexual. I don't know that I want to come out because I feel like I don't agree with like a lot of things that the gay people in the media do or say.
They need you even more.
Right. I agree. And I tell these people, I was like, you got to just be you. You got to
be you and they'll wrap around you. I mean, like right now we're waiting for.
Because I was thinking that there would be more. Because you said something to me once. It was interesting. It was years ago. You said like, you're like the next generation of gay person where it's like you had the original people who were like crusading against all of the, and then you're like kind of the guy who's like, I'm just a dude. That's,
I happen to be gay.
Right. It's part of the thing.
Like,
it's not the
I'm
central
not
thing.
I'm straight Andrew on stage.
No.
Now I have that privilege or whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
But where it's like when you're normal, you don't have to address what is normal.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like I don't have to say I have two hands when I walk on stage, right?
Yeah.
That's the assumption. But at the same time, like I'm just talking.
Yeah.
Now, you have a weird thing, and it's different. I've thought a lot about this with being a gay act.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you have to come out every time you're on stage.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, unless, here's the thing. So if I do an hour set, But if I do a 15-minute set and I'm working on jokes that don't have to do with my sexuality,
then boom.
I don't come out and go, I'm also gay.
Right.
Thanks for, you know.
But
in most headlining sets,
you have to.
Yeah.
Now,
headlining sets,
And it is a weird thing where it's like, I'm imagining that like part of you goes, there's part of you that's going, well, I don't want to say this up front. I just want to be a comic. Why do I have
to do it?
That's
all of me. Because
of
I never, I do it 15 minutes, 20 minutes in.
Right.
I never come out. Because
then,
in New York and LA, you get chips for being gay.
Right.
And I want to see what I can get away with without that. Because I present and sound straight.
Sure.
So if I have no idea if Rogan knew I was gay. If in the middle of that, he was like, how's your wife? I'd be like, she's great.
Yeah.
You know Karen? She's great. Boston lady, never shuts her mouth. But it's one of those things you do have to kind of come out. Because then you feel, if you don't, you feel like you're doing a disservice to like, maybe there's somebody gay in the audience that's like, well, what's this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
you kind of have to be.
You have to present it. But then what happens is you present it and it's like what happens to a lot of actors that come out as gay after they've been famous.
Yeah.
we look at you like, yo, why were you lying to me, bro?
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Yo, why'd you lie to me, bro? Like, right. Can I trust you? Now I'm anxious.
Yeah.
I feel anxious right now. Like, yeah. I was so comfortable before.
Right.
And now I feel like I don't even know you.
Right.
So then,
yeah.
What happens to gay actors who come out late is they just got to play weirdos now.
Right.
Like, what's Doogie Howser's name?
Thank God I'm playing that anyway. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, like, he's just got to play gremlins. Like, he can't be just a guy.
Right.
He has to be, like, a mythical figure.
Well, that's why a lot of people don't come out. I mean, there's tons of actors that do not come out.
Don't come out after.
Yeah.
Because you're also leveraging the fact that you can pretend.
Here's why I don't care if they're comfortable. Because to me, I'm only trying to make you laugh.
Right.
That's all I'm ever trying to do.
Right.
So to me, for me to come out and have to just right off the bat be like, hey, I'm a fag, everybody.
Right.
I want everyone to be to me, I'm kind of like, that makes me uncomfortable because I feel so like sometimes it's 5 minutes in, sometimes it's 10 or 15 minutes in. But to me, I've done it at the end of the set where people's heads are like, what? Or like they don't even know what to
You know think. What I would do?
Yeah. It's interesting.
I'd have the host introduce you as gay.
Really? Is that true?
Swear to God.
Really?
And then
that seems crazy.
And then the first line would just be something like, no, it's right. Can we move on or you guys need more time with this?
It's interesting.
It's like, can we talk about whatever we fucking want now?
Now you're making me think because maybe it is better to come out earlier.
You're doing it.
It's kind of interesting.
You're not doing it. And I know why you're not doing it.
I'm thinking like a comic.
Yes.
Right.
And you have every right to think like a comic.
But
we have to be pragmatic too.
I appreciate that.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's something to dabble in. I would try all different things. He doesn't have to be like, he's gay. I don't know. There's a way where it can be introduced where you don't have to use it as.
Or do I not mention it at all and then just talk about something that would.
No, it's like, he's right. I'm gay. You know, I know you haven't seen this brand or whatever,
right,
but like.
Right, yeah.
Can we keep moving or we need to address this anymore?
Right.
And that's your energy, which is like, you want to get into it.
Yeah. I mean, my jokes are not, that's not why I'm funny.
Yeah. But it's who you are. And I think like in certain ways, it gives you more leeway for your POV because you're challenging conventional wisdom.
Yeah.
So it's like your life is a challenge of conventional wisdom.
Right.
Of course you're going to think about blackface differently than most people.
Right.
Because you are wearing straight face.
Right.
Every day.
That's very true.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. For me, there's an interesting perspective.
That is my new specialist called Straight Face.
Straight Face. Done.
Well, what do you think is preventing people sports people in hip hop things.
Yeah.
What do you think it'll take for that? Because I would think
they're already gay.
Oh, they're gay,
but they're not coming out.
Right. What is it going to take for them to?
I mean,
hip hop
is wildly homophobic. Bro.
Sure.
Like, let's keep it real.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And so that's a
sports
tough one.
Probably too. Of course.
Sports have an interesting dynamic because they got the. They have the locker room aspect.
Right.
Which changes things.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of these guys that, you know, are in sports grow up in a church,
sure.
Right? We're talking about majority poor blacks.
And even whites are religious, I would imagine, because they're from Southern or wherever.
Poor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not a lot of, like, rich kids that are elite athletes.
Right.
You just don't have the grind and hustle. You don't have the survival instinct. You don't need it.
Of course.
You know? So
it's the opposite of comedy, where there's not a lot of poor elite comics. You need a little bit of that comfort.
You do.
You need to be like, well, why is the world the way it is?
For real, it's like you got to.
Where did you grow up? Manhattan?
Manhattan. I grew up a couple blocks from here, Astor and Lafayette. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, and absolutely in that same ilk, you know, I would say like my mother was an immigrant. So I got like the immigrant mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my
father. You're a hustler. You were very hard.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's like both of my parents. It's like they set that for you. I think.
Yeah.
Like I saw my dad like work 18-hour days and like wake up and get bagels for us in the morning type of thing.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's how you work.
Yeah.
So like the idea of, I saw my mom stay up 3 days straight and learn taxes.
What nationality are they?
My mom's Scottish.
Okay.
And my dad is like Irish and German.
You're not Jewish.
No, most people assume I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
We could be like back in the day.
Right.
Back in the day shit. But like, you know, my dad's German side of the family came here in like late 1800s.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So you were raised around just hustlers, people that made it happen.
Just hungry and like loved America.
You
like my mom loved America.
You go to public schools?
Of course. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to public schools here in the city. And, but yeah, it's just kind of like the city's great in a lot of ways, but evil in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it took me till I was like maybe 34 to like believe in altruism.
Interesting. Yeah. You get your cynical kid. Right.
But it makes sense because like everybody's trying to swindle
you. In Long Island, I had to learn what altruism was and then not agree with it.
Yeah.
Say, fuck these.
But on some level, you got to like.
Yeah.
Like for me, that opened everything up, man. Like, you know, I was too like worried about someone trying to fuck me over constantly and figure that out. And like, to be honest, I went to Burning Man. I go to this thing called Burning Man every year. Yeah. Have you heard of Burning Man?
People have heard of Burning Man.
I don't know. I didn't know until I went a few years ago. I thought it was like a rock concert.
Yeah.
And I remember like messaging my boy as he gave me a list of shit.
Do you do the whole thing? Do you like to eat mescaline and wear a costume?
Mescaline.
Well, whatever. That's just salad. DMT. Wait, what is
mescaline is just salad. That's no. Like arugula.
No, mescaline's a drug.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I thought you get like a mescaline salad.
You do that too, but the mescaline, it's the drug in peyote.
Do you do the whole thing? Like, eat healthy.
Yeah, eat healthy.
Yoga.
Bike around. But do you drop acid and get on a.
No, you don't
do any of that.
No, I did Molly,
you
don't
strike
though.
Strike me as a guy that does drugs.
No, not really. I mean, I did Molly. Molly was really interesting because it was like. You know,
do you fuck all the time? Where are your vices? Try to find your vices.
Yeah, sometimes I would fuck, but then it's like, you got to be careful with that one, too.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I can party. I can drink a little bit, but I'm not, I don't
go too
hard.
You're a work guy. I mean, you just throw yourself into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I used to distract myself with work, and then I would fall apart without it.
Yeah.
And the greatest lesson, like, I ever learned, and it's funny how things, like, take a while to grow into you.
Yeah.
You know, like... But like when everybody said no, it was this huge ego check and like I just was really humbled by it. And then I was forced to get really comfortable with the idea of nothing.
Wow.
Right? Like now, nothing in America is not nothing
in
India. But
of course.
You know, like for me, just wanting to do stand-up was everything.
Yeah.
And then not being allowed to do it on TV. I thought that was the only place you did it.
Yeah.
Was nothing.
Right.
Right? So like, and that was the best thing that could ever happen to me. Because the second I got comfortable with nothing, if two things happened. One, you become fearless.
Yeah.
Because you can't take anything away from me.
Right.
Because then I'm back to that nothing place where I'm comfy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like in Dark Knight Rises, the jail underground. You know, he had to get comfortable in the darkness.
Yeah.
You know, like that's Bane was born there, right? So
sure.
It's like, but Batman had to learn it.
Yeah.
I had to learn it. I was too entitled. I was like, why don't I have this? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have this? Who the fuck am I?
Right.
Right? It's like, fuck, stop reaching for everything. The second you stop asking, the world gives you. And it's a glitch in the system. You ever see Ready Player One?
Yeah.
That's the message in that when he went backwards thing.
Right.
Remember in the first thing he goes backwards? I swear to God, the underlying messages in that is everybody's going to ask for handouts. And if you go the opposite way, people will be dying to give it to you.
Right.
In a weird way, it works like that, man.
Have you seen your friendships with people change now that you've become successful? Like,
I just want to help people.
Right.
As weird as that, and that's what I was saying about altruism. Like, before, I truly didn't believe it. And then at Burning Man, like, I was forced to. The whole idea is you just go there to give for a week.
Yeah.
It's really
there's
the
no
crux
money.
Of it.
There's
no
money. People that are listening
people
don't know what it is.
People die to give.
Right.
They die to give.
It's
and
a,
I didn't believe
it. It's a sharing economy, the whole
that's
thing.
That's all it is.
Right.
It's a gifting economy. Not even sharing.
Gifting.
No barter.
Gifting.
I'm spending my whole year waiting to come here and build a diner in the middle of the desert so I can serve you pancakes while the sun rises.
Interesting.
I don't want tips. I don't want money. Nothing.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's
wild.
Like that shit opened me up a little bit. Like, so my cold, cynical New York heart all of a sudden kind of softened. I was like, oh, wait, you can really be, you can just want to give. And that started to grow a little bit. And I found the value in giving. And I was like, oh, wow. Like I was just taking, you know, comics were horrible listeners a lot of times because we're just trying to fill the void. You know, like after a great set, you know, when you feel full, you feel whole.
Yeah.
And the void is filled and you just want to share with people. You want to compliment them. You want
right.
to take, like, that's what Molly taught me. For the first time in my life, I had a surplus of love instead of the void of love that I'm trying to fill. Through stand-up.
You had more than you needed, so you said, let me give it to other people.
I just wanted to give.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is a fascinating feeling and experience. I can probably get here without drugs if in the right world, you know? And the second I started having success, I just wanted to help people. I didn't feel, you know, so much in New York with the comedy scene is like, people validate themselves with, like spots at the Cellar, let's say.
Sure.
Because they literally have nothing else to validate themselves with.
Right.
They can't sell tickets on the road.
Right.
Right. They might have a special, but nobody's watching it.
Right.
Right. They validate themselves based on spots, right? And that's why there's a little animosity sometimes at the clubs between guys, because it's like, you're coming to steal, to take from me the one thing that I value.
Right.
And the second I started selling out these shows on the road and I was doing what I loved, and I just wanted to like help.
Right.
Folks. Like, I just wanted to be like, hey, you guys should try this with your Instagram, man. Like, try this with Twitter. You know, it's like, this is an easier way for people to access
and people
your material.
Listen now.
You're only a genius if you're rich or dead.
Yeah.
There's people. Like, for me, over a certain amount of money, my lifestyle doesn't change. But I recognize I need to make millions so that more people will let me help them empower themselves.
You ever think you eventually hit a wall with work and you're gonna want a wife and kids or a family or other
experiences? It's really important.
Deepen your understanding of the world.
Yeah,
it's because important. You've really done a lot with work. And I have arguments with people all the time that like don't want, especially heterosexual people that are like, oh fuck, I don't want kids. I don't want to. I'm like, guys, what are you doing?
You gotta have it.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's what all this like wokeness is about. They just don't have kids.
Right.
It's truly every one of these people at a march doesn't have a kid.
Right.
It's every one of these people protesting doesn't have a kid, man. It's all it comes down to.
Do you think there's no good reasons to protest though? Do you think there's no?
No, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't knock it. Like, there's no good or bad. Things just are. Yeah. Like, we got to get out of that mentality. It's hard to wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
But like, things just are, and sometimes things are unfortunate.
Yeah.
But like, a polar bear is like a sweet animal to us.
Right.
Right. To a seal, that's a serial killer.
Right.
So like, what is good and bad?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
do you ever say to yourself though, like, this is an egregious thing that should be protested? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm not like one of these, like, how do I say it? Like, I'm not one of these like die on the cross, you know, people for, you know, certain issues, et cetera,
right,
like that. Like, I recognize the stupidity in all of it.
Right.
Right? It's just, this
like
is...
Like, there are people out there that are like, their entire thing is like, fuck PC cult, that's their whole thing, which is fine, but it's like, that kind of boils down to the thing, they just want to use the N-word.
Right.
All the time, and it's like, well, we're...
Yeah.
And I have arguments with people, I'm like, do you realize how funny Louis had to be to get a laugh with that word? Like,
right.
Do you realize how good and adept you have to be at what you're doing to do? So there are people out there that are kind of, because there's probably a lot of people that imitate you poorly.
Right, right.
And look at what you're doing and go, well, if I'm just that guy and, you know, I want to be that guy, but they don't know how to do it. They're not funny enough to pull it off.
Yeah.
And everything you're doing comes from funny. You're not proving points.
Funny
up
there. First.
Funny first.
Funny first. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Because if we start trying to prove points, we're no different than the woke comic.
100%.
It's the same side or the other side of the same coin, right? Like, what we want is funny.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I resonate is because it's funny first.
Yeah, of course,
It just happens to be that I'm talking about these specific issues which we're told we're not allowed to talk
Have
about.
Have you ever met any of these comics that are, you know, because I do a lot of those alt rooms and I am in situations with people where I will be like, they're very talented, but I think they're insane. Like, I'll read their social media, I'll be like, I really believe this person is wrong about a lot of things,
right?
But I'll look at them and I'll appreciate their talent. If you're, are you ever in a situation like that where you'll look at somebody and go, you know, they're really talented, but I just don't, I think what they believe about comedy is wrong.
Yeah. I think this is easier for comics to get than most people, but like, once you start realizing that like everything in the world is and isn't,
right?
Not is or
right.
isn't.
Yeah.
Is and?
Of course.
That's believable. Everything is believable.
Yeah.
Right? Things are complex in nature, right?
Right.
And us comics, a lot of times what we do, if you're a good comic, is you're exposing to people that the way they thought about the world is not entirely true.
Right.
We make you laugh so you don't kill us.
Right.
Because that is usually
how we have to deliver the message.
Exactly. And we're the first people that die.
Right.
Like when a dictatorship takes over,
right,
who's the first people to die?
Comedians.
Free thinkers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're like the, you know, not to romanticize us, but we're the philosophers. We're the, like, that's what we are. There is no such thing as a philosopher now. It's just comedian.
Right.
Right? Or like a guy who writes books. Like,
well,
Chuck,
there are
Palahniuk.
Philosophers, but no one cares. Exactly. Yeah, they don't care.
They don't fucking care.
There are.
And if they were funny, we care. Like Chuck Palahniuk, whatever, right. That, Chuck Klosterman.
Do you worry about that, though? Do you worry that we're living in a world now where in order to get anyone to care about something, it's got to be a spectacle?
We operate in extremes. The internet operates in extremes, and you have to accept that.
Right.
You have to accept that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Democrats finally got it right this election. Like, last year, they just tried to be like, we're not Trump.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's just not how you win anything. You can't win on not.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because we don't know who you are. I'm voting for you, but you're not telling me who you are. You're telling me who you're not.
Right.
Right? So it's like, would I book a comic act that told me they were not something?
Right.
No, I'm booking.
No. What are you?
What are you, right?
Yeah.
So they did the extreme, right? Conservatives go the extreme. You know, what is it? Trump went the extreme on the right, and now Dems are going the extreme on the left. It's like, we're going to tax you 90%. They're not really going to do it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're going
but
hard.
You go hard left.
Yeah.
That's how you make noise.
Right.
And then eventually when you get elected, nothing changes. Like, everything never ever changes, right? So it's the same thing. But in order to get attention, you have to hit those extremes for sure.
Are you, other than stand-up, is there anything else you want to do, like, to do? Do you ever want to do like, put together a show? Would you ever want to? Yeah.
My feeling is this, like, if I want to do it, I'll do it.
Right.
You'll never see me ever waiting to do anything.
Right.
So I made a decision that I was going to stop desiring things I couldn't control. And that was the most liberating decision of my life.
Right.
I had three cameras that shoot 4K.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I have a full-time video guy that I hired.
Right.
I can shoot anything I want.
Right.
He comes on the road with me every single time.
Yeah.
I flew him and another guy out to do my special when we were in Europe.
And your special, for people that don't know, is all over the world.
Yeah.
You're doing shit in Denmark, you do it everywhere.
Reptile, man.
What? Because you wanted to connect with people on that reptilian. I feel like I'm talking conspiracies now, but you wanted to get people all over the world and hit them at that base level.
That's it. It's
awesome.
In you. It's already in you.
Yeah.
It's not like a funny word.
Yeah.
It's an idea.
Of course.
Right. You know.
Sure.
And it's
These deep, instinctual, natural,
that's comedy, man.
You can't get rid of,
that's fucking comedy, bro.
Yeah.
So it's like for me, when I see people talking about comedy, right, and they're like, there's certain, you shouldn't make jokes about homophobia or like sexism or like racism or pedophilia or any of these things, right? And I listen to that, right? And then I think back about every street joke an old guy has ever told me.
Right.
Every street joke.
Yeah.
For anybody listening now, a street joke is like, you know, two guys walk into a bar or whatever like that. Every street joke functions with one of those four no-nos.
It has a target. Every joke has a target, yeah.
Why, though? Why those four?
Because I think those are the things that make people uncomfortable, or those are the things that...
You're there.
You know,
you're there.
You need
You
comedy.
Need fucking comedy to talk about, because it's hard.
Right.
That's why comedy exists.
Yeah.
Because shit is hard.
But... in the same vein...
it's not for unicycles.
Of course. No. 100%.
Anybody who does comedy about unicycles is wasting comedy.
Right. Unless you're doing it on a unicycle, which could be somewhat impressive. Depending.
No.
Right. Do you ever, though, but you say we as a society, we kind of evolve, right?
Yeah.
So do you ever say that, like, you know, for example, a lot of the jokes that were made in that, whether it's the 90s or whatever, like... making fun of a certain type of gay dude or effeminate gay dude that would use a gay voice, that won't get laughs as much anymore. Just
of course
won't.
Not. It won't.
It won't.
Context.
So,
context of time.
Context matters.
It's like George Washington was a dick in today's time.
Right.
Back then, he was a hero.
Right.
You have to judge people within the context of their time.
Well, I'm a monarchist, but he was... Yeah, I understand what you mean.
You're a what?
I'm a monarchist. I believe,
you believe it.
I believe in the English crown. No. No, 100%.
Make America Great Britain again.
Yeah. Do you ever... do you get letters? I'm sure you get... people all over. Do you ever get people that disagree
all the time
with you?
But I've walked through the fire.
Yeah,
people want to follow, right?
Yeah,
they want to be led.
I see people on Twitter. These are nobodies, by the way. But I'll see them, and I'm like, oh, they're kind of going at Andrew Schultz.
Yeah,
like,
all the time,
and they don't. You know what is the thing in rap? They don't name you. They're subliminal. This subs. Is what I mean.
Subs, yeah.
They're subliminally going, you know, I'm like, that's kind of an Andrew Schultz. Sometimes somebody will say something about me. You're much bigger, so you get a lot more of them. But when, how do you, like, I'm sure you ignore a lot of this, obviously, or all of it.
It was hard at first.
Yeah.
But, like, what I've realized about people is they want to be led. They just want to be led by the worthy. So they test your worthiness.
Right.
Right? They want to see if you can walk through the fire.
Yeah.
You know? And when you prove that you can walk through the fire, they stop trying to light you on fire.
Right.
Because it doesn't work.
Well, Amy, all those people kind of went through those, that kind you of initiation.
So when I went through it, I was called everything under the book.
Yeah. You know,
racist, this fucking thing. It's just like, it's because I'm an opinionated person and I'm not willing to move those opinions based on your feelings. Right. I'll move them based on
facts.
Facts or logic or empathy.
Sure.
Like, I'll evolve my opinions all the fucking time.
Right.
Right? Sometimes they'll become more progressive, sometimes less.
Right.
But they'll move based on what I see.
Right.
But I'm not going to let how you feel about them dictate it. Right. And when that happens and people don't know what to do, and there's a paranoia here in America, right? So it's like they went the fuck at me, like try to cancel me. I've lost $100,000 on ads based on saying shit.
Right.
Like, that's big money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
What do you feel like is the, what gets you in trouble the most? What gets people the
angriest? Now they stopped.
Now they're done.
So what happened is, look, you might have somebody sub it. I don't know what you're referring to. If you're referring
losers.
To like, comics or something like that.
Yeah, losers.
Okay. So look, so the thing is that, these people aren't on my radar, so I can't.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not hitting them. But, and I feel like deep down, like I'm inspiring the people that have a shot at it.
Yeah.
I don't as much care about the people who don't have a shot.
Right.
Because you get what you want in this business. A lot of times you don't realize what you want.
Right.
Some people just want to be part of a community.
Yeah.
So they stop getting better.
A lot of them.
They don't improve because they don't want to.
Right.
They don't realize it, but what they always wanted was some friends.
Yeah.
So as long as they could hang out at the Creek or hang out at the
Wherever.
Cellar, New York Comic Club, that's enough funny for them.
Right.
That's not enough for me.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I need to wear the belt.
Because it gets boring. Yeah.
I need to wear the belt.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, now I'm defining what makes me wear that belt.
Sure.
You know, so it might not be based on ticket sales. It might be just pure art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's something I need to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
do you ever look at guys that are insanely funny who should have better careers than they do and you want to say something to them, but you don't want to insult or offend them? Or do you ever look at people and you're like, if that guy did these three things, he would maybe connect.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's people. Yeah, there's people I try to help. I mean, even now there's people that I try to, if I can. And I think I'm in more of a position now where, like, people will take my advice.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see them go for it or, like, you know, find that thing.
I think it's also tough for comics of a certain generation.
Yeah.
What's happened over the last few years is seismic.
Yeah.
And it's big. And so the idea that you have to unlearn, because that's what I realized when I started doing this show like 2 years ago and whatever.
Yeah.
I started building up things, you know, and just doing, you know, I've only in the last year I started doing little videos on Instagram that are funny and
it's great. That's how I found out about your show.
Yeah. They get like, they'll go on Twitter and get 200,000 views and it's like, I made them in 5 minutes in a garage with a friend.
You are hitting on the zeitgeist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah.
Like, you are touching something. It's our job to explain feelings.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want to be a leader in this business, right? So it's like, you know, Sebastian, who I think is brilliant.
Brilliant.
He taps into your feeling, right?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing the sandals at the airport?
Right.
And we've all had that feeling.
Absolutely.
So we relate to it so beautifully and it's gorgeous.
Right.
Patrice O'Neill taps into your feeling and then explains it in a way you could never explain it. He's your guru now.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're tapping into feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why this reference keeps coming to my head, but for you, but it's like, you know Ben Shapiro?
I know Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, like, do you know?
He's like, and Patrice, and for you, Richard Spencer.
No.
He shows up to Charlottesville.
Let me tell you
why. He's telling you the way it is.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
So,
please.
So here's the thing with Ben Shapiro. Here's
the thing. I wish I had a subscriber base.
So here's the thing with Ben Shapiro. And you might. We'll talk about how you get there.
Yeah.
But like, so the thing with Ben Shapiro is like, Ben Shapiro is followed by people who don't like Jews.
Right. Interesting.
But they love being a Republican.
Yeah.
And Ben gives them the arguments they need
right.
to equip themselves.
To be a Republican.
To be a Republican in a public environment. They can't wait to bump into a bleeding heart liberal.
Right.
They can't wait.
They're ready.
Because Ben gave them the sauce.
Ben gave them the juice. He's giving them all the fucking bullet points.
So there's dudes
you
out
meet
there.
Those people at dinner. They're just waiting to get
waiting,
into it.
Waiting. Right. Right?
Yeah.
And we've all heard the same lines. And it is what it is. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that have never had a gay friend.
Right.
Maybe don't hate gays, but like, man, just like whatever. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But they fuck with how you feel about the world.
Yes.
You only need to connect to people on one or two things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why you can vote for someone who says horrible stuff about a
right.
different community. You're
yeah.
like, well, I don't know that community.
Right.
What are you doing for me lately?
Yeah. Well,
right?
there was this story that just came out where like a lot of these Brooklyn socialists have wanted to start their own dating app just for socialists. And I'm like, oh, you guys, and it's the same thing I feel about Christian Mingle. It's like, oh, you don't understand how love works.
Yeah.
You don't understand these deep, that's why you don't understand the economy. It's because you don't understand like these instinctual natural forces at work
yeah.
that you need to take them into consideration.
Absolutely.
When you're, yeah, it's like, I know people that disagree with each other, but love each other.
Yes.
Because it's a fucking primordial feeling. Yeah.
Reptilian, bro.
Reptilian. Yeah.
It's in here.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, but like, I had to unlearn because, like, when I got in, people like, don't put it out until it's perfect.
Okay.
Don't do it. Yeah.
So let's go into
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
This is a very important thing for people to understand.
Yeah.
What's happening right now in this business, and it's not just stand-up comedy, it's in entertainment in general.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the perestroika
yeah.
in Russia? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's happening with entertainment.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
We're talking about overnight millionaires, not billionaires, but we'll be overnight entertainment millionaires. And it's happened already.
Right.
Happened on Instagram.
Yeah.
People go viral. People go crazy and all of a sudden they're millionaires, right?
Yeah.
And
Bad Baby.
Yes, yes,
Phil.
Yes, right? So, and it's because the nature of viewing entertainment has completely changed. So like we were talking before about like, you know, TVs back in the day, the shows weren't that good.
Right.
They were just competing with nothing. There were 10 channels.
Yeah. Some of them were good. Some of them. No, you don't give a Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, ER,
maybe
any of that stuff.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I gotta rewatch. But
right.
like if somebody was like compare, you know, Game of Thrones to like NYPD Blue. It's
well,
like,
yeah, Game of Thrones is a different game.
Yeah.
Sure. Well,
right?
yeah.
So
things
like,
have evolved.
So things have evolved, right? And which is natural progression. But before you're competing with staring at your wall.
Right.
Right? So that there was the TV and then there was your wall.
Yeah.
So what is more entertaining to stare at? That?
The TV.
Right. So I watched the TV, right? And they got fat.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was the only thing. They're like, I could put anything on here.
Yeah.
You know, I could make a show about three Muslim trans kids.
Right.
To be, you know, to be
right.
progressive and showcase
these things.
Get a nice
article written.
Boom. And
yeah.
you're going to watch it anyway because it's either this or your wall.
Yeah.
And then what happened was the internet came out and it wasn't just the wall.
Right.
It was your phone.
Right.
And everything became a screen. And your TV became the shittiest screen.
It's the least interesting option.
All you can do on that is watch. This I can text. This I can call. This comes with me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now viewing changed. Now we have different tiers of viewing. Now there's long form movie, Game of Thrones or whatever. Now we have short form like Subway viewing, which
yeah.
is I have 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm not going to watch Game of Thrones because too many distractions, but I'll watch YouTube.
Right.
I'll listen to something with I'll
yeah.
do the ears. And then we have, I'm uncomfortable in this moment. I need a little bit of distraction. That's Instagram.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So this TV show is on one platform.
Yeah.
And only one way to access it through viewing. Your clip, that can be accessed when you have time at home. It can be accessed when you're on the subway. And it can be accessed when you're at a bar and you don't know what to do and you feel a little uncomfortable and you just want to look like you're doing something.
Right.
Right? So now you're tapping into all three different ways that we can listen to you
yeah.
or watch you or consume your content, right? The special, because we'll go into how sitcoms are dead too, by the way.
Yeah.
There'll never be another sitcom again.
I agree. Yeah.
You want to know what sitcoms? Okay, this is how it
but I think shows like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or shows like that in that vein. No?
That's over.
It's all over. It's all over. Except 2 minutes.
You could be grandfathered yeah. in to it, meaning like we could bring back.
You don't think there'll be another half hour funny show?
No.
Never. Andrew Schultz says it here.
No. Now, it can be grandfathered
Veep
in.
Veep on HBO is a funny show.
Grandfathered in, right? You're taking a woman who's wildly famous from Seinfeld and you're tapping into those. I'm talking about a brand new Friends.
Okay.
A Friends, like you don't know any of these people. And then it just pops up in a super. And I'll tell you why. It hasn't, right? And yeah. It's already been replaced. And it's okay. Right in front of us. And nobody even realized it, right?
Yeah.
So if I ask you about your favorite scene in any sitcom, which was it? It doesn't have to be the best. You could just give me a scene you remember.
I love Curb Your Enthusiasm to me. I love the scene where, you know, Susie Essman is like, they're hiding Jeff's porn. You know, Larry's hiding his porn and...
Yeah.
You know, he's watching, and the Jeff's parents walk in and catch Larry watching this porn, and Larry just said, I had dinner with this guy, Gil Bang, the other day. I like whatever.
Now, Curb is a little different because it is narrative-based, and there are stakes to Curb.
Yeah.
Okay?
And that's, but I could say Frasier. So I'll say my favorite scene in Frasier was, you know, when, you know, they're having some dinner party, and... everything's going horribly wrong.
Right.
And it's a funny show.
Do you remember what happened in the beginning of that episode?
No.
You remember what happened at the end?
No. I just remember that scene, the best scene. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's why they're dead.
Okay. Well, is that because we can't focus on a half hour anymore?
No.
What?
It was never important.
Right.
The narrative, the story arc was a farce to fill 30 minutes. All these shows are five sketches.
Yeah.
Which with people that we like. That's all they were. And here's a sketch about the dinner scene. Here's a sketch about muffin tops on Seinfeld.
Why wouldn't that still be relevant today?
Because right now in this economy, in this content economy, we want exactly what we want.
Right, okay.
I want this scene.
Right.
Give me the scene.
Yeah.
Give me muffin tops. Right. I don't need a 20-minute story to me to muffin tops.
Yeah.
Because I don't even care about the end or the beginning. Drama, we still care about end and beginning.
Yeah.
I can tell you the beginning and end of a Sopranos episode. I can't tell you the middle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's interesting because now we want things to be catered directly to what we want.
Right. Well, of course, because that's what the internet does, right? It makes it niche. So let's look at it right now. So now what sitcoms will be... They won't be narrative anymore. They'll just be the same group of people recreating sketches as those characters, right?
Okay.
Now, if you go on Instagram right now and you go to some of these Instagram comics pages, what do you see?
That's happening. Yeah.
Now, right now, the unfunny people are doing it.
Yeah, but the funny people eventually will do it.
Why do you think I blew up pretty much right when I started it? Not pretty much right when I started, but like very soon.
Well, because people wanted that kind of content and they wanted it to be funny. They wanted actual good content delivered in that way.
We are the fucking, you know, when like in the Wild West town where everybody's kind of walking around and everybody's, you know, going to the saloon and in and out of the saloon.
Yeah.
And then the fucking, the cowboy shows up and you just see his boots.
Yes.
You don't even see him yet.
100%.
You know what I mean? A fucking cigarette hits the ground. Right. He turns it out. You hear that little
saloon
the little
doors
thing.
Open. Yeah, it swing open. Yeah.
That's us.
Right.
No one is funnier than us.
Right.
On the planet.
Right.
We do the hardest version of funny.
Right.
Which is not put on a wig and act like a lady in an Instagram video.
Right.
We walk in front of a crowd.
And test the shit.
Tell them to shut the fuck up.
We're going to talk.
We're going to talk. You're going to listen. You're going to like it.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the second we enter this environment, it's over.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just taking a while.
It's taking
a while.
Does
any of this, do you look at any of this stuff and go, I'm disappointed that people can't focus on more than a few minutes?
They can. That's the illusion.
Okay.
So
they can.
We'll get into that for the specials.
Yeah.
But so
some of this world that you thrive in.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to thrive in.
You are.
I'm.
You've been empowered by it. It's already happening.
100. Yeah. It's 100%. And I look at it though, and some of this world, I'm disappointed by the. You know, I look at some of the things I go, overall for society, is it a great thing?
Yes.
That, okay.
Because, I'll tell you why. Because it empowers us. And anything
is it that
empowers
we're spending
us,
8-9 hours a day on our phone?
That's not good. Sure, okay. I hear you about that. I thought you were going a different way, like creatively. No. Spending the time on the phone is not good, and we got to get off it. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. But we also have to be pragmatic and go, some people really need that.
Yeah.
Some people's days really suck. And I'm sure you get emails and DMs all the time where they go, man, my day was so fucking shitty. I was in a hospital recovering and I watched your video and it like changed my
I always
fucking...
tell them my day was worse. They'll be like, I have cancer. And I'll be like, let me explain my day. I had a meeting with True TV. They're not even real. Okay. They don't even exist. And I had to sit there for an hour. You get to die.
So it's thrilled. Like, so it's one of those things where like, where what we do is, I guess we can get into like the idea of the special, because specials are dead too. So, excuse me. So,
is there anybody special over the last year you've looked at and you're like, wow?
I haven't watched. I don't. When I'm in like the creating phase, I don't watch.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
well, like, I don't really watch a ton either, but I just.
I don't watch none either, but also especially when I'm writing. Okay. I don't watch.
Gotcha.
And when I'm like performing a lot, I don't watch. I rarely watch.
Right.
Because you see some guys that are so good. You see a Chappelle and you'll start going like, oh, maybe that's how I should do it.
Oh, no, yeah, that's true.
And you can only be the best you. At least
That's a great
you
know, point.
My hustle with this. So it's like, but like what the only guys that we shouldn't do in specials are guys like Colin Quinn, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like the whole special has a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. The whole thing has a message. And even then I would break that up into pieces. But The reason being, let's talk about the time. What is
attention.
It? Attention span. Yeah,
because people can you say they can, but they need to be invested first.
Yes, it's intimacy.
Right.
Okay. So it's like there are people that are going to listen to this entire podcast,
right?
Because they are intimately connected to you.
Right.
Okay. Now, if I said to you or anybody, I was like, "Hey, check this guy out. He's going to talk for an hour."
Right.
You would tell me to go fuck myself.
Right.
But if it was 1980, you'd tell me to go fuck myself.
Right.
Nobody wants to listen to anybody talk for an hour.
Right, right.
Okay, that I don't know. That's an hour of my day.
Right.
That's insane.
Right.
Right? So what I did is I put out 3 minutes. People have 3 minutes and 2 minutes. Okay?
They do, yeah.
And then after they watch that 2 or 3 minutes, YouTube suggests another bit. And then they watch that. And something crazy happened. My YouTube guy hits me up like maybe 20 weeks into our project or, you know, putting out all the clips. And he goes, hey, man, something wild's happened. I'm like, what's up? So like they'll watch a video and then they'll watch for 2 hours. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, for whatever happens is they get in like a wormhole with you and they'll watch for 2 hours. And I go, so people aren't watching a Netflix produced special with the most famous comics in the world all the way through for 1 hour. And they're watching double for two. And why is it? Because humans like to make the choice themselves.
Yeah, they have the freedom.
They choose, I will watch another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I will watch another five.
Right.
I will make another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's snooze.
Right.
You know, you hit snooze on your phone. I'll take another eight.
Yeah.
I'll take another eight.
Yeah.
Right? I found a way where we could digest. Like I look at myself as like the first SoundCloud comedian.
Yeah.
Like, you know, SoundCloud rappers?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, make it digestible enough and they'll watch more than they would with an hour. The idea that something's an hour is absurd. It doesn't need to be, unless you're Colin Quinn who has a piece. You know what I mean? Even in all my specials, there's a through line in it. But like, why would you have one access point when you could have six? This one, I'm dropping a new piece every single Sunday, right? Somebody might find it in India through the Trump grabbed a pussy joke. Somebody might find it in Czechoslovakia through this tranny joke. Somebody might find it in Kentucky from this period joke. But now we have three different ports of entry.
Into becoming your fan.
Into at least watching a piece of it. And then I believe in the content to whereas if you watch one, you'll keep on watching them.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't you give them more access points? The only reason you wouldn't is because a company is paying you a lot of money
to not. Do you still have an agent and a manager or do you basically
I fired my manager.
Okay, that makes sense.
She just didn't get it. She just didn't get what's going on because
you're more of a manager than she is. Right.
I don't need a babysitter. Some people do. You know comics and I know comics that they need a babysitter. I need a producer. I don't even know what managers, and I'm not knocking managers. I just didn't even know what they did. Like I didn't even know that they would book my flights. Like when anybody does anything for me, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to having to do it myself. Like, I remember, like profusely thanking my manager's assistant for booking these flights. And he had to tell me, he's like, no, it's okay, bro. Like, that's what I do.
Right. Do you know what I mean? You're like, wait, but what?
I don't know. Like, So, my agent who books my road stuff, shout out to TJ at Gersh, he's a beast. And we're on the same level. But, you know, and we had to have that conversation where it's like, I had to sit people down. I had to basically tell them, and some people don't like this, but they're like, but I was like, I have a very clear vision for what I want. Incredibly clear. I know exactly what I want to do, and I know exactly how I want to get there. I won't expect anything more from you than what I ask, but I'll expect everything I ask. And I don't need you guys to like think of cool ideas or how we can get there. And I don't need you to set up meetings with people like this cool producer. We don't need to do any of that. I just need you to trust that I know where we're going. And it's amazing because it's met with skepticism, but when they start to see it happen.
Yeah. Then they just sit back.
Dude, you see how, like, this sounds like a weird thing to compare to, but like, you see how people can like believe in a prophet. I'm not talking about myself as a prophet, but like when you have complete skepticism and then you see somebody do something that you thought wasn't possible.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just kind of just like you see their face go, okay, how do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now we're off in the races. And right. If you don't get it, then it's okay, man. Like no hard feelings whatsoever.
Yeah, just,
I wish you
not,
the best.
It's not, you're not, you want people around you that are going to let you take the reins because this is what
we have one shot at this and it's our career. Right. So let me fail for me.
Right.
If I fail, I crash and burn. I can rest knowing that it was on me.
Charlamagne seems like a guy that works his ass off too.
Insanely hard.
Insanely
hard and wildly talented.
Right.
Like unbelievable. He is the best at saying something sticky. Like you give him the microphone.
Right.
And it will be sticky. Whatever he says, it will get out there in the world and it will be sticky.
Yeah.
It is an incredibly impressive skill. And like as a comedian who's supposed to say that stuff, like I need to cure it and I need to refine it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can just go.
He can just go.
Scalpel.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's completely changed. And it's like, that's the thing. Like any comic that has any questions, most comics I think now that like sometimes they're a little hesitant to ask me or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, don't be hesitant to ask me. It's like, this is what we're in this together. Like as soon as comics start realizing it and empowering themselves, you're going to see everybody wants to uplift. Like, I just want, like, I have this, it's so funny how comics are. Like, I'll tell a comic, it's like, yeah, man, if you got a joke of yours that you want to get a little traction on, like, I'll put it up on, you know, my YouTube. And I want to start doing that after the special is like bringing other comics into unsafe sets.
Awesome. Yeah.
If they fit under the umbrella
of
unsafe material.
Yeah.
And like sometimes comics have that, like, they're like, so like what happens with the revenue? And it's like,
oh, that's insane.
Buddy.
But people are mentally unwell. Yeah, you're trying to help. See, you're trying to help people. It's like, listen, it's like,
I'll give you the $40, buddy.
When you take,
I'll give you $40.
It's like you take somebody on the road to feature.
Yeah,
and then you the next day they're like, hey, I noticed you were 7 other places. So can I go to those? It's like, dude, you know, relax.
Ask for nothing, you receive everything.
Yeah, such a great. Yeah,
I'm telling you, man. You just I truly believe, like, I was never like I never felt at least like a darling of the comedy community. I always felt kind of maybe outside a little bit. And maybe it's because I grew up in New York and I had like my friend group here.
Yeah, and you're also having a different experience with the city. I think a lot of people are coming to the city from other places. They're having a different experience.
And you probably understood that too.
Yeah, because I'm from the island. Like, I was an actor as a little kid. I was in from 6 years old to 12 years old. I was in and out of auditions in the city all the time. I just knew it.
So it was a comfortable thing for you.
It was a comfortable thing. It was a different, I'll never have the experience with New York. I think New York, I think Joan Didion or somebody smarter than me said, she said it. Basically, like, we'll never understand New York the way somebody understands it who pulls up, who's never seen that skyline in person, from the South or the Midwest, and fucking walks into this place at 21 or something or 19 and goes, I'm going to make a life here. Well, no, because we're 2 in Central Park.
Yeah. It's like you don't know your mom is hot.
Right. Well, a lot of people don't know my mom's hot. No one does.
I've never seen your mom.
A lot of people, you know.
You know what I'm saying,
she's
right?
She's huge, like, on Instagram.
Is she really?
No. No, fuck. Andrew, she's not.
Fashion Nova.
I love how you look at me. It's like, is she?
But
she gets it. Your mother gets it.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're so close to your mom, you can't see her as like a MILF, whereas your friends are like, oh my God, your mom's so hot, or some shit like that. Like, that's New York to us.
Who are your best buddies in New York that aren't comedians? Who are your
I mean, all my friends.
Yeah.
You know, like all my friends are from here. Like I went to school up the block. You know,
They, what do they do? Are they finance guys? Are they this? Are they that? What do they do?
My best friend in the world, Jamil Hibbert, shouts to Jamil, is he works for TripAdvisor.
Okay.
And he's like a ad exec, you know, but like, and so like he's there, like another best friend of mine, but he lives up in Toronto. And, it, you know, these are just the people that we kind of grew up with.
They must be amazed at seeing what's going on for you, and that must be awesome.
Yeah, but I also think that, like...
They connect on a different level.
No, so like, I think, I don't know, like, they kind of saw it happen with me, like, they wrote it with me, and I think they, I think, you know, if you, if people believe in you, then it's like, a matter of time thing.
Right.
You know, like, they could see it, and they saw the work that went into it, so they were there for, like, the highs and the lows.
Right.
So it's always... Yeah, it's probably exciting for... I mean, I'm trying to bring Jamil into this new thing, like, we're starting an ad agency, like a media group, you know, because we just weren't getting enough ads for our podcast.
And
we've created this amazing like community within the Patreon.
Yeah.
And like people really rallying behind this type of content.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to pitch ads to brands specifically with this, like not like, oh yeah, don't worry, they'll behave. That was a weird episode. Like, no. They're wild. They're outlandish. They're uncensored. They're unfiltered. Right. And people love that. Do you want to be part of that? I don't want to lie.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want you to know exactly what you're getting into because I think there's a massive market for that. And yeah, I think we can just, and people are hungry, man. It's like amazing how many people have reached out that have like legit ad careers already. Yeah. And they're like, nah, we want to help you build this thing.
That's awesome. And what you're doing something on Instagram now is called Unsafe Sets.
So every Sunday I drop a new clip, right?
Yeah.
And it starts with me, but eventually that's going to be like eventually that's just going to be a show. Like I'd love to do two shows, for example, at the Cellar and have 10 comics on each show and like talk to the comics before and like pick out three bits that, you know, like would fit that 5 or 6 minutes that are unsafe. And then like I'll have fucking 60 jokes from other comics that I believe fit this kind of like unsafe style of material that doesn't really have a place in the industry right now, but has a place in people's, you know, hearts.
Do you think that'll change? Because the industry believes in nothing. And they just, as Doug Stanhope said, they're blind coyotes lunging at whatever makes a sound.
Yes. The industry is.
Do you think they're going to realize eventually that none of this is catching on?
It will change after my special.
Yeah.
Now, that seems like an arrogant thing to say.
Yeah.
It is not meant in arrogance, right? Like, if you saw, okay, the industry is a sailboat, okay? It can only go where the wind takes it. You understand?
Yeah.
It cannot go into the wind. It goes where the wind goes,
right?
Okay? So in order to change the industry, you have to be the wind, okay?
Yeah.
So like... There's this great story that I feel like I've told in every podcast, but I'll tell you about it, about how Nescafe got into the Japanese market, right? And what they did was they called up this consultant, and they were like, hey, how do we get in? This consultant's like a genius. He's like decoded every culture in the world. And he's like, you can't get in for 15 years. And they're like, why not? He's like, because these people don't know what coffee is. They have no memory attached to coffee. It means nothing. You're trying to be tea and you're not tea. It's a different thing. He goes, so what you got to do is this. You got to make a cartoon and for kids, and then you got to make a candy based on that cartoon. And that candy is going to be flavored as
coffee.
Yes. It's going to smell like coffee and taste like coffee. 15 years later, you'll be able to get in the market. Last week, they just opened the biggest Starbucks in the world in Tokyo.
Wow.
Japanese people devour coffee. They're like fucking science experiments. There's beakers going up. Like they have perfected and are obsessed with coffee, right? And it's because you didn't take the sailboat to Japan, right? You like planted the seed in Japan and grew it into the culture.
Yeah, organically.
Organically. So like when I do that thing that's 15 minutes, right? That could never happen. Like the Netflix 15s couldn't happen before they saw it work.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? They saw it get a million views on a channel that didn't have close to a million subscribers, 100,000 subscribers.
Right.
That, you know what I'm saying? They're like, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? Like Comedy Central would never do that show until they saw it. Right. Even Ray Romano's new special where he's going from the Cellar to the Underground. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying they copied me.
Right.
I'm saying I made that okay.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
doable. Listen, you put it out there before, you know, other
it's just doable.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about people steal, like Comedy Central steals, but like the like Netflix and these types of things. It's just like, this is allowed now. It's okay. So what I say about this special is, if people get behind it, and I think they will, is they will, you'll see the industry go, oh, this is okay. Like, I got a Trump grab the pussy joke that says he's 100% right about it.
Right.
And the dislikes on the joke are like 50.
Right.
That's insane.
Right.
Like, I get more dislikes on anything else.
Well, because it's funny.
It's funny. It's funny. So you can do it as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's what this will prove, but it has to be done outside of the typical. So that's why I had to do it on YouTube. I had offers, but I said no. Because sometimes shit is bigger than you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. sometimes I need to put this out here so you and I can do this type of comedy.
You seem to have a sense of purpose to what you're doing that other people...
It's bigger than you, man.
Don't have, yeah.
It's got to be bigger than you.
Yeah.
It can't, like, once you get to a point where you can sustain, it's what we were talking about, Molly. It's like, yeah. Once you get... These people who need $1 billion are sick, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like...
But you've also defended them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, but they're also sick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because the second you become a billionaire, you're the poorest billionaire. Like, you, it's a stupid goal.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you think you're rich then? Not to billionaires.
Right.
You're barely allowed in the club.
Right.
You know? So you're back... You're literally back outside waiting at the red rope.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
So it's like... At a certain point in time, I realize over a certain amount of money, my lifestyle doesn't change. I've made $500,000 a year. I've made $200,000 a year. My lifestyle didn't change.
Right.
So I go, okay, anything over this, I'm full, like the Molly. Once I'm full, I gotta give back. I gotta provide. I gotta, yeah. And if I take a hit, if I'm spending $35,000 to edit my special, that's worth it if it moves the industry in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think it's hard for people. I don't want anything from anybody. Like people have specials coming out, and I'll just sit down with them, and I'll be like, hey, let's find a way where you can get the most of this. Let's get 15 minutes of that material. Let's chop it up, and let's put it out. Let's do, you know, let's, I know you're doing it here, but I think we can still make an impact.
Yeah.
You only need a single. You know what I mean? Like, right. Specials are an album.
Do you, and by the way, I appreciate you doing this. Final question, because you sure. Really laid out, I think, not only for comics, but for a lot of people that are waiting on someone.
Don't
to
wait.
Stop waiting. Do you ever worry that some of this stuff, like, crowds the art out of it, where it's like, you're so good at marketing yourself, you're so good at reaching people,
right?
Do you ever worry that it's going to zap some of that energy that you have for creative stuff?
It does.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, for me, it's like, I'm delicate with that creative process.
Right.
You know, like, that's the most, like, for me, the joy is creating. Anything that happens after that is icing on the cake.
And with stuff you need to do.
Stuff I need to do.
Right.
But, like,
and you can enjoy it too. Listen, you can enjoy things you need to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, but like once I fell in love with creating instead of in love with the outcome of creating, everything changed.
Right.
Right? So it's like if people watch, sometimes people don't watch a clip and I thought it was really good.
Right.
But they're like, they just didn't resonate with them.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Because I love making it.
Right.
You know, and sometimes people love a clip that I thought was just okay. It was a B joke.
Right.
But that's cool too. It's like,
that's okay, yeah.
I'm operating with the joy from creating. Like this podcast.
Yeah.
Let's say something happened with the audio.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go out.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
I love this convo.
Right. It was a good conversation. Yeah.
This is the first time you and I have had
I'm
extended.
Not okay if there's something wrong with the audio.
But
I'm fucking,
we can do it again.
Be killed.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, absolutely. 100%.
So it's like, I was doing this interview with a friend of mine to do a feature for me for Penthouse. Right.
Yeah.
And the audio just got lost, and we had like an hour and a half convo. And I swear to God, I was like, back in the day, I'd probably be like, this would happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, here's this opportunity for whatever.
Now you're like, who cares?
She was just so cool.
Yeah.
And we, like, it was cool to connect with her.
Right.
And I said, if you want to do it again, we can. If not, that's cool. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So it's like, I'm here as a resource.
Yeah.
You know? And anything I do, I hope you improve on.
Yeah.
And then tell me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I hope you're like, hey, man, if you resize the video, it gets more views or some shit. Yeah. And I'm like, all
right,
bet. Like,
right.
Once, and I promise you that will happen once comics get a little bit of financial security.
Yeah.
I promise you, we'll start going, yo, Dylan, you got to get on my
do
shit.
Do this, do that, right.
Or Dylan, come on a podcast.
Once people aren't gnashing their teeth
for resources, right?
For resources.
Once they're not fighting, right?
Yeah.
Once we're like, all these people who are philanthropic are well off.
Right.
It's hard to be philanthropic in Haiti.
Right. It's tough.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Right. But if you're up in Connecticut, it's like, yeah, let's give some money.
Yeah, sure. Let them have soup.
Let him have fucking soup.
Right. I appreciate it. Andrew Schultz, if people don't know who you are, and they all do, where can they find your shit? Andrew Schultz on
YouTube. Go to YouTube. The Andrew YouTube. Schultz. No T in Schultz. Check it out, man. And, you know, watch a clip. You know, if you fuck with it, watch some more. Simple as that.
Go in for it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Specials. I got to get you on the show Inside Jokes, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate
that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
That's a good one for, like, what we do. I don't know if you've seen it.
Well, I've seen Giannis. Giannis is one of our regulars who comes in.
Yeah, he's so
Giannis
good on it.
Needs to, he needs outlets for his, you know? He needs to be able to go.
I think we're going to shoot his special.
I love him. I adore him.
Yeah.
He's great. So that's fucking awesome. If that's the case, that's great because he's the best.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on, dude. I appreciate it. Everybody check it out. And timdillacomedy.com dates. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram and Twitter if you guys aren't there. And try to rate and subscribe, review to this podcast. Next week, we have Nick Bryant coming on, talk about the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. He is the foremost expert on sex trafficking in America. He's been on the show before.
Whoa.
It's going to be intense. That one's going to be intense. So that's next week. All right. And then Colin Quinn, who did not do the show, spent 15 minutes with me on the phone telling me why he's not doing the show. We recorded it. It's great. And we're putting that out with this episode. That's also going to be a separate clip. So thank you, everybody. Goodbye. Sick.